My name is David Willis. I'm David Willis. This is Short Pack, and you're listening to the Webcomic Beacon.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 56 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. Not to be confused with webcomicbacon.com, which is where we are developing our communal webcomic project, Webcomic Beacon. And everyone who's been on there on the show before talking about the characters and the comic, be sure to get over to our forums and continue the discussion of site design, copyright, and other character designs, and upload your character designs. That was an assignment. That's right, this is the Webcomic Beacon. Oh, for the love of the hobby. That's right, we will not tell you that you're not expressing yourself good enough. With me are the creator and co-creator of Night Zero, a photographic webcomic at nightzero.com. First off, we have Anthony Von Winkle, creator and director.
Hello. Hi.
And we also have Forrest Gibson, which is co-creator and director of photography. Welcome.
Hi there. It's good to be on the show.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. Actually, we wouldn't have a show this week if you weren't, so.
I'm glad we can help.
Awesome. So, one of you, tell me basically, give me the pitch for Night Zero.
Well, it started out as a culmination of wanting to make a comic book, wanting to explore photography, and, of course, loving zombies a lot. So we put together last year an idea for shooting a photographic novel or a comic book to put on the website, or to create a website and go online that would tell stories of survivors in post-apocalyptic Seattle using HDR photography, which sets it apart from most photo comics, which use standard photography and then a lot of Photoshop effects.
Right. And I've noticed it's... I keep trying to... I'm looking at the pictures, and it's like, how... That looks... It's you can't... It's very unique, is what I can say. Is I'm trying to picture how you actually take this. Could you explain what HDR is?
Well, the process of doing the HDR is we take three separate exposures for every different shot. So if the actor's in, you know, one pose for one frame... Well, the camera will actually go off three times, take a high exposure, a normal exposure, and a low exposure. Then we go, you know, then we can put it into Photoshop and merge those all together, so we get a higher dynamic range than is normally possible for photography. Then on top of that, we use a process called tone mapping that levels them out and flattens the image. The kind of the goal that we tend to go for with these images is to make it look drawn, to make it look like some sort of really, really, really good drawing. And that's kind of the goal with this technique.
Very cool. I'm looking at your gallery page. You got a couple of, I guess, excerpts from the comic proper, and it just pops. Like, especially the characters, they just kind of pop right out at you. It's, I don't know. It's very cool looking, and it's definitely a visual draw for reading this. Who came up with the original idea, and was it always supposed to be kind of a photo comic thing, or is this kind of just like a, you know, kicking around some ideas in the office?
Well, the photo comic was from the beginning of Night Zero. In a couple of years past, I've tried making my own comic books, but learning to draw was never successful. So by the time I came up with the idea of having a zombie comic book, the photography was a natural part of that. So when Mr. Gibson and I started developing it, we always knew it was going to be using photography. We didn't know that it was going to be using HDR because nobody's really tried to do characters and portraits with photography. It's normally reserved for nature and, you know, urban architecture. Mm-hmm. So it was a huge learning curve to figure out if we could actually do it in HDR. But over the last year, I think we've nailed it down pretty well.
Well, awesome. Okay, one thing about photographic comics, especially when there's people involved, is that you got to get people involved. How did you get the actors and the models for this comic?
Well, we have kind of an advantage in this court because both of us are heavily kind of involved in the improv community here around Seattle.
Okay.
So especially Anthony here, who does a lot of the tech stuff for several of the different improv theaters in Seattle, we have lots of connections. I'm the director of the improv troupe at the University of Washington and involved in the drama department. So we have this drama department at a university that's full of people who want to get their faces out there, who want to get their names out there, and most of them are our friends.
Okay. So
we've been working...
Oh. Go ahead.
We've been working in a real kind of collaborative manner in that, you know, we don't when asking people to help, we just ask them like, hey, can you help us out? This is just kind of, it'll help you, it'll help us.
So these basically are actors and not just models.
Yes, definitely. We do have a professional model on the production staff who helps them with coaching for expressions and poses and things like that because they're not used to photography. They are improvisers and stage actors that mm-hmm. we're dealing with. But they're very creative folk. A lot of the characters in the comic book were co-developed between us and the actors themselves. They came up with a lot of their characters' backstory, what happened to them during the apocalypse, how they survived, and what their objectives are in this new world. So it really is everybody putting this story together themselves. It's not just the two of us writing it out.
Very cool. I was trying to find on the website, nightzero.com, who plays each one, and I'm not sure if I'm seeing it, but is there a spot somewhere where you could find out who the actors are?
Yeah, if you go to the episode archive, there is a credits page that lists out all of the different actors that we have and the production team.
Oh, okay. Oh, there it is. Oh, well, that answers that. And this is all done in Seattle?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everything shot on location. All of our cops and props and costumes and sets and everything is real. We don't use any green screens.
And I thought I heard or read somewhere that you actually have to, you know, pay licenses or basically buy some rights to some locations to take, or if you know what I'm trying to ask.
Right. In the city of Seattle, when you're shooting on public property that includes streets and sidewalks and public parks, you do have to get a film permit. These are designed for people making films and movies, mm-hmm. But the same permit applies to us. So every time we plan a shoot that will be in a public space, we have to put together an application and send it to the mayor's office, and they will give us a film permit that gives us license to be there.
Yeah, we could have taken the more guerrilla filming approach, but especially since our goal would be to scale things up because things are going to get a lot bigger. Once we get a little more resources at our disposal, the scenes will get bigger, the images will get bigger, a lot of stuff. There's going to be more production value, and so we wanted to start off kind of legitimate and just kind of work our way up and not, you know, deal with the transition between going from guerrilla filmmaking or, you know, guerrilla shooting to actually going legitimate.
Well, very cool. And the idea of film really comes into mind. Do you guys have hopes, plans, or, you know, dreams of this possibly becoming something not just print, but, you know, in film?
Well, yeah. One of the reasons Anthony even came and talked to me is because I mainly do film. I mainly do a lot of video production and photography. I mean, I do some photography, but my original background is making videos. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where a lot of my cinematography and kind of the director of photography element comes in for my role. So, yeah, I think eventually taking this on to larger video projects and film projects would be great. The resources just aren't there because the difference between making this photographic novel and, you know, in terms of money and making a film is just massive. We've been doing this on basically no money.
Right. Well, one of the things... Oh, wait. Okay. I lost my question completely. Okay. You already completed basically the first act, I guess I would say, if not.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now you're in a transition where you're just posting up, I guess, somebody's lost note? Or
Yeah, we don't want to jump straight from the first one to the second one. You have that to-be-continued cliffhanger. You want to be able to have that be something of a cliffhanger. So mm-hmm. in the meantime, we have what's going on right now is a four-page short story that one of our writers wrote. It gives us an opportunity to tell another story without having to go out and shoot it.
Okay.
Because one of the things we realized as we were putting Night Zero together is that with this backstory we've created, there's so much material, just the main comic story would never be able to explain it all. So we do have these short stories and then and vignettes and other like one-up comics that tell other people's stories and come from other angles that will be interspersing between the episodes. Episode 2 will go online in January, probably late to end of January. That one's a lot of fun, too. That picks up the main serial. And then we're doing pre-production of Episode 3, which will go up probably in April or so. So we are planning out about 6 months in advance with these things as far as when the comics go up and when we put other things up.
How far in advance do you take your shots? I mean, do you have like a little backlog of the next of the episode two essentially ready, or I guess tell me a little bit about like from going out and shooting time to going up online time.
Well, episode two is mostly shot. So we have done most of the shoots for it. There's still a couple more shoots we have left, but most of the majority of the shots are already done.
Okay.
And the way we're working with this out is because the end of episode two is right at the beginning of episode three. They have this an overlap there, and we're going to really go nuts and have a huge production set for that scene. So we're not prepared to shoot the end of episode two until we're ready to shoot episode three, just because we don't want to build this set twice.
Ah.
But the bulk of episode two is all, it's already shot, it's laid out, it's ready to go.
Okay.
We're just holding off on that so that we can have that cliffhanger and tell some of these other stories that we've got. We've got a great vignette coming up that'll really be another fun little story that you don't have to wait until episode six to find out how it ends.
Okay. So when you guys go out and you take your shots, how long are you guys out, and for how many pages do you try to shoot for in every outing? Or is it, I guess, you know, there's not just pages, but I guess it's also scenes you have to consider, like the same location.
Well, when it's one location, we try to do as much as possible. So some of our shoots will just go from 8 in the morning until 4 or 5 o'clock. So they'll be very, very long shoot days. Other times, if it's a short scene, and those will span 5, 6, 7 pages, sometimes more, mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, how many photos we're taking and filling up pages. To give you an idea, too, in one of those longer days, keeping in mind we are doing those multiple exposures, you know, we
right.
get the camera clicked 425 times. We have 425 separate photos, but then you divide that by 3.
Right. And who does storyboarding, or do you even do storyboarding?
We definitely do storyboarding. That was part of the pilot shoot, was figuring out what's the best way to do this.
Right.
But yeah, for the full serials, as we go about them now, we do have the storyboards laid out. Sometimes they're sketches on pieces of paper. Sometimes they're actual Photoshop files that lay out all of the frames where they're going to be with the text and everything. And then, depending on who on the production team is available, sometimes we'll just have little stick figures that are as much of a pain as they are helpful. Sometimes we'll have full sketched out, you know, well-drawn storyboards to go with that. So it is a huge help to draft it out in advance, because then we can keep track of how we are with the shoot, how our timing is, how much we have left to get done.
Any chance getting some of those up online for extra bonuses or specials, or even in a print?
Well, there is one of the special features in the upcoming book includes a sample of the script, the storyboards for that, photos from the shoot, and then the final laid out pages as a sort of special feature to see how that process works.
And even included in that section is the actual separate, it actually has the separate exposures that I talked about,
mm-hmm.
and shows what happens when they're combined and then when they're tone mapped.
Cool. And when does this book come out? The first, I'm guessing you're doing it episodically?
More or less. The episodes aren't quite enough to be a complete book unto themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the first book will contain the first episode and our pilot episode that we shot earlier this year. That was sort of the proof of concept, if you will. And then the second book, we're planning to include episodes 2 and 3 and probably a vignette. And then we'll just go from there. So the books are about 100 pages. and then whatever episodes and other things we put in there as well. And that is, we're just finishing up the proofing right now, so that'll be in print next month and should be available beginning of February or so.
Okay, now you say the word vignette, and I like to pretend like I know things, but I just can't pretend like I know what you're talking about.
That's fair. We do have some terminology that we've set aside for Night Zero. And a vignette is what we're calling a comic book story that is, it is storyboarded out, it's drafted, it reads like a comic book, but it's not part of the serial. It's a standalone sort of independent comic book story.
And it's going to be shorter than a normal episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we call it a vignette to distinguish from a short story, which is what we have online right now, that is actually just a text fictional story. So we do call vignettes and short stories separately to keep track of that.
Okay, but essentially basically all in the same world. And
yes.
Okay. Yeah, one of the biggest things, and one of the things I've been really proud about this project, is how much we've been forced to kind of build this world, and how really... even from my point of view, I'm kind of almost frustrated because there's so much I want to tell and so many different stories and so much different stuff about the world that it's just taking so long to get out. But that just means that there's so much more for us to show you guys. There's a whole concept about currency in the new world that I'm really excited to get out there, but we haven't even touched on yet.
It just means you got a lot of content to last a while, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's no shortage of ideas.
Well, this is... There's definitely a lot of thought put into this, and you guys are definitely from a more professional standpoint, and so I'm sure that your comic, if you spread out a little bit out there, you get a little bit more known, people are going to be just, eating this thing up, especially, zombies are always cool.
Yeah.
So when does the first book drop?
The first book should be around end of January, beginning of February.
Okay.
And the book idea was sort of an afterthought. It was, Night Zero was built from the ground up to be an online webcomic that was online for free.
Cool.
Just because it was something that we had a lot of fun doing and wanted to create. But when we were doing some casting calls and trying to get people involved earlier this year, we ended up printing up some of our pages just to show and put on display.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, we had the realization that with the HDR photography and the tone mapping, as amazing as it looks on the computer screen, that is nothing compared to how it looks in print. I mean, we were just blown away, and everybody who's seen it in print is just blown away by how great it looks on paper. So we thought it'd be sort of a crime to not make that available to people just because it does look so fabulous.
Well, awesome. Do you have any price points on this book yet, or pre-order information?
We haven't done full pre-orders yet, but we do have a pre-order request form. We're not going to do pre-orders until the next year, but the price point is $14. It's 96 pages, full color, and it's a trade paperback.
Okay. And looks like you can go onto the Night Zero website and click on the About section and scroll down to the bottom, and I think that's where you have the request to pre-order email.
Right. It's not taking any money yet, but if you want to know when we are, you can pre-order.
Yeah, we're not really advertising the pre-order page until we're ready to actually pre-order.
Okay, so everybody listening, go and swamp their email right now. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break right now, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about, photocomics in general.
Thank you for calling the hotline for thegeekmedia.com. If you are a fan of social media, podcasts, machinima, video games, or music, please press the number 1 and someone will be with you soon. If
you are not prepared,
please dial 0 and an operator will be with you shortly. Thank you again for calling thegeekmedia.com's customer service hotline. And please remember, we're always available 24/7 at www.thegeekmedia.com.
And we're back, more or less. Actually, I was wondering, do you think any of the cast members would be interested in coming on for at least part of a show sometime to talk about their experience working with the show? Or
Absolutely. And our cast is a wide range, but they're very fun people. They are improvisers, so they're naturally outgoing. And like I said, most of them have developed their own characters and come up with their own involvement. So I think a lot of them would be interested in coming on and talking about the Night Zero process, because they all have, you know, very, very fun experiences.
Well, go ahead and send the word. And maybe we could look at getting a few of them on sometime in 2009. And it doesn't have to be a full show; just a little bit of time to get to know them and just let the show go as it usually does. But yeah, we don't talk about photo comics a whole lot on the show. I know we talked about the photo manipulated web comic called Dark Zero. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that one. Or no, not Dark Zero.
Dark Red?
Dark Red. Yeah, Dark Red. I don't know. Have you guys heard of that one?
So, yeah, we're familiar with it.
When we first started this kind of process of figuring out whether we wanted to do this and how to do it, we tried to do as much research as possible about what other kind of photo comics were out there and if anyone was doing what we were doing. We did find that lots of other people had been using photos to make comics, but we did, we haven't found an HDR tone mapped one yet. But yeah, there's lots of ones that use a lot of Photoshop. There are different ones. The Dorothy series, which is a printed series, used a lot of, it was all green screen kind of stuff.
Okay. Was
yeah,
that it?
Dark Red, we've noticed, it has one of the higher production values, as far as we can say. I mean, they do have a good cast. They have very expressive actors, nice set locations, and they've been going for a while. I mean, that's a very good online story. I think that's definitely one of the stronger photo comics that exist today.
Mm-hmm. It's not merely photo either. They do, I think it's rotoscoping. Is that what they do?
It looks like a little bit of rotoscoping and Photoshop filters.
Yeah, because it's looks like it's kind of got like a painted look, so to speak, kind of watery a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we've talked about Union of Heroes before, which is a German webcomic about, I guess, superheroes.
Uh-huh.
And, but are there any others that come to mind that kind of popped out when you guys were doing some research? And you mentioned the Dorothy Chronicles or whatever. I don't recall exactly what it was.
I mean, the Dorothy, I don't think they have anything online, but they were a printed version. Other than that, those are kind of the main ones that are, especially, we try to pay attention to ones that are still very active.
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of, the Dark Red and the Union of Heroes are the ones that pop up at the surface at first.
There's another one we found called Solipsum, which if you do a Google for photographic novel, that's the number one hit. But as far as we can tell, that was a dream project between some very expensive photographer and a bunch of models that never went anywhere. So that webpage hasn't been updated in a number of years, so we're not really sure what the deal is with that. But as far as the photographic novels, a Union of Heroes, that just started earlier this year, I think May or so. So that's a new player to the field. And I noticed they've sort of got the same trouble that we do, is that when you don't have a gag-a-day comic, it takes a long time to ramp up enough story to actually be engaging. So, yeah, we've been following along with them from the beginning, talking to them on forums and the like, just to see how their process is going. But I think as time goes on and they get more of a repertoire, then it'll be a much more engaging story like Dark Red is.
Very cool.
Oh, something else I thought would be interesting. I don't know if Anthony's told you or anyone's told you. sorry. But that Night Zero has actually done a guest comic for someone else already.
Oh, really?
So, if you're familiar with Geist Panic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we actually did a guest photographic novel for Geist Panic. Because he wasn't able to do comics for kind of the wintry season. And so he was taking submissions for guest comics. And he seemed very pleased. And also hitting on our actress. saying that he wanted to woo her because she looks... we were able to find a girl who looks a lot like his main character.
Yeah, I think I saw a little crop of that in one of your blog posts. At least one panel. Oh, yep, there it is.
And that was a lot of fun, not only because we got to take somebody's hand-drawn comic and interpret it with photographs, which is fun. I mean, looking for props and jars and, you know, costumes and things that would be appropriate for the drawn comic. But also it was a real good break for us to be able to shoot something that wasn't zombies.
Right.
You know, get something a little bit more humorous, a little bit lighthearted. And that was, I think there were six panels that we ended up using for the guest comic, and we shot that in about an hour and a half at my apartment. So that was a really easy, really fun thing to do. So we're looking into doing that more in the future.
Yeah, if anyone has a cool webcomic that they want to see that, you know, want to see it turned into real photographs just for the fun of it, we're always interested in trying that out.
Well, I got one. I'd like to see you guys do a Jenny Everywhere interpretation about something, just because what I say for everybody.
Well, that's something I've looked into, is into one of our vignettes. We could throw Jenny Everywhere into a vignette comic pretty easily.
That would be awesome.
We do have some actors who could play her very well. You just get the goggles and the aviator jacket on, and you're all set. So she could fight zombies. It would work.
It totally would. But yeah, I've wanted to say that for a while. Ever since I saw that, is like, has it gone up yet on their site? The guest strip that you're talking about.
Oh yes, it went up
last week, I think.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, and that's at hookydookypanic.com/geist, I guess.
It also works at geistpanic.com.
Oh, okay.
That's GEISTPANIK.
Oh, yep, here it is. It's strip number 43. That's funny. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading it right now. Okay, I wasn't expecting that. Okay, that's good. That's good. I like that. Yeah, I was looking at, you know, there's tons of list sites out there, and we've been on the show talking about list sites. There's like 15 of them, and I forgot to mention photowebcomics.com, which is another list site, but it's obviously for photo webcomics. And most of them, I think most people tend to photograph their toys for comics. There's not a whole lot of people. Are there any of the non-people or the toy comics that you guys check out or not?
Alien Loves Predator, I think, is the most amusing one. They tend to have pretty good jokes on a regular basis. The other ones, and I've glanced around to see what they are. None of them really jumped to mind at this point.
Yeah.
Besides Alien Loves Predator, because that's just well done. It's well written.
Well, awesome. I guess there's really not a whole lot left for me to discuss. Do you guys have any questions or things you want to bring up or talk about?
I know you said you don't really follow photo comics much, and kind of the thing that we've been fighting with and trying to deal with, I mean, because we're doing this for our, you know, our own kind of artistic wants, and we're doing it because it's fun, and because it's fun to get our friends involved, and we like the product we're making.
Right.
So we haven't really been focusing on marketing necessarily. We've just been doing it because we like it. When we do start thinking about that, that's one of the problems we run into, is because photo comics aren't really very popular. Most people who tend to be into comics tend to be into drawn comics, because that's, you know, that's how a lot of people even define comics, is
right.
Only things that are drawn. And I think that one of the things we've been looking at is how to kind of appeal to, we found that the people who are interested in photography and film, many of them are actually interested more in our comic, as we're calling it, than people who actually like comics.
I can see that. Yeah, you guys definitely, what is that? It's sequential art, essentially, and whether or not it's drawn, this is still an art piece. Mm-hmm. And have you guys purchased, like, Project Wonderful ads at all? Because that also helps for driving up traffic. And also, I would recommend you guys checking out The Gig Cast. They would probably, if you drop a line over to them, they'll probably talk about your comic and probably even have you on if they can. They get a lot more traffic than us.
We've looked into Project Wonderful and things like that, but right now, because this is, like, our website doesn't have any ads, we don't use any supporters or sponsorship or anything like that,
right.
So we're trying to keep our current advertising to basic viral marketing and word of mouth, and anything that we can put together with investment of time rather than investment of money. so we can dedicate our resources more towards getting these production licenses and shoot locations and costumes and props and stuff.
Okay.
So when we have the book, that may change things. When we actually have product to sell, then turning traffic into sales, that could warrant some paid ads. But right now we're just working on word of mouth, talking to other comic book creators, being on the forums, and just around in the webcomic community.
Right. I'd still definitely, you guys should send a line over to The Gig Cast, another webcomic podcast. They have a little bit more different audience than us, and I think a much bigger audience than us as well. But to go ahead and check that out, because that'd be like more of this more viral stuff, and so.
Okay.
I mean, this definitely, as far as photo comics go, it's like, I think you guys sent us an email about, because we're going to be looking at webcomics and such periodically, and this popped out. I was like, man, this is like awesome. So, yeah, very well done. Very nicely produced, definitely.
Thank you.
You guys are welcome. I wish I had my co-host with me, because I'm pretty sure they'd want to talk about it. But Tanya's out at some, you know, family Christmas something, and Mark's sick. So. But other than that, I think pretty much the show is all. I don't know where else to go. Tanya's supposed to come in and talk about her boobs for a second and derive everything off topic for, you know, 20 minutes. But that's pretty much it. I think I'll probably end up wrapping up the show with a bunch of non-related stuff. But I do thank you guys for coming on the show.
It was our pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Everyone should check out nightzero.com. Again, I've been talking with Anthony Von Winkle, creator and director of Night Zero. And also Forrest Gibson, co-creator and director of photography for Night Zero. Once again, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Ha. All right, now, I'm all alone. There's nobody else here. What am I to talk about? Well, I'm going to go to break real quick, and when I come back, I think I'll... I don't know!
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
Well, I'm not back. I'm not back for that much longer here. There's really not much more we got to talk about. I've never had such a smoothly gone podcast, I think, ever. So, check out nightzero.com. Very excellent. I just wanted to talk about webcomic bacon for a moment here. A couple of episodes ago, we were talking about designing a communal webcomic designed to essentially be kind of like the guest strip project. Only a little bit more structured, a little bit more controlled, but not too much. What we have going on right now in our forums, if you go to webcomicbeacon.com and you look on the left-hand side and click on the forums, you'll be, well, obviously taken to our forums. And we got a few active discussions going right now where we're talking about character designs yet. The people that we had on still have to submit some character designs, but I also invite everybody else who's listening and who's interested to come in and give their input or supply some sketches or some ideas. I mean, it's in an apartment building, so there's endless possibilities for more characters, of course. We are still discussing the copyright or non-copyright of the webcomic Bacon as a whole, the idea and its characters. Essentially, it's looking at between open source or some sort of Creative Commons license where we still retain at least some control over the characters. And if we do go to the Creative Commons route, it's basically, it would be copyright to the webcomic Bacon Group, which would be essentially anyone and everyone who has contributed to the project. Of course, the ideas would basically be the same. It'd still be open source-ish, like no matter what we do, where we invite other people to do something and submit it. And I'm trying to work on the website would be a WordPress website, and we're going to be loading the plugins Webcomic and Inkblot with my help, Lunar Zero. I'll get some links in the show notes of where you can find that. But basically, I'm going to be setting up where people can register and people can create posts, but they won't go live. And so myself and some other people, part of the core group, would be able to check and look at webcomics, make sure they fall within the rating of the site, and set up people's submissions to go up live and essentially order which they've received, but also timed out so people just, it doesn't, multiple posts in one day is avoided. So you guys check that out. Give your input, please. And we've got another topic going in there as well. Let me just quick click check that out. Yep, we have an active topic talking about the website and design as well. Lunar Zero has already started a layout that utilizes the beacon's colors a bit, though we have decided that it needs more ham and bacon products. Otherwise, the site design is fairly simple, and you guys can give your own design ideas or whatnot. Otherwise, sometime in January, I hope to get the site developed more and get it live and start promoting it. And it will be at webcomicbacon.com, but right now it's basically not worthwhile even checking it out. In any case, that's pretty much it for this week for the Webcomic Beacon. Again, this has been episode 56. Next week, episode 57 will not be recording. We've basically already recorded it last week because everybody stayed after the show for like another 50 minutes. So we're basically going to be repackaging stuff that was not released in last week's episode. An extra, I believe, it's 40 to 50 minutes of content, and we're going to be putting that together for a show for next week. And that'll basically be our last episode for the year. So you'll still get your show for the week, but we will not be broadcasting or recording unless something special comes up. But again, that stuff wouldn't come out until the week after. So in any case, the people in the chat room already heard that one. But feel free to come back and listen to it again. I'm going to start trying to get these shows out much earlier than on Friday. And hopefully I'll get to the point where they'll be released the same day. But we'll see as that comes. Again, this has been Fess of PSIWebcomic.com. We had Anthony and Forrest of NightZero.com earlier this week. This has been episode 56 of the Webcomic Beacon. I'm Fess of PSIWebcomic.com. Earlier, yes, I couldn't stop talking about them. Anthony and Forrest, thanks for coming from NightZero.com. See you all next week.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Just a moment, I was asleep. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
Oops. I called the wrong person. I forget who that person was even.
Ouch.
So I got to apologize to them. It sounded like I woke them up.
Oh, jeez.